You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
All right, welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
I'm Carnell.
Warren.
Tim.
This episode, we're going to touch on some Vancouver Island Brewing beers. They have been gracious to sponsor Steve for Beer Wars. Woo. So, Steve, can you kind of tell people a little bit about that and maybe even just mention your fundraising quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. I am getting punched in the face for charity. that actually about sums it up. Eastside Boxing runs a whole bunch of community programs, and they run specifically self-defense courses for female-identified individuals, victims of violence, and the LGBTQ community. They do after-school and programs for at-risk youth that include nutrition information, nutritious snacks, and a food pantry. They can bring food home if they need to. And they also have a women's boxing course that includes childminding for single mothers or mothers who just need some time, need some exercise, need something where it's not the kid climbing on them.
Nice.
All proceeds from all my fundraising goes towards those programs. And we're taking donations. You can donate through my Facebook donations page. There'll be a link on the website and in the show notes.
And it's also, it'll be on the website too.
And we're holding a fundraiser at the Dublin Gate, Vancouver.
Main Street
event. On February 17th. Any dollar from every fall or pale ale sold from 5 p.m. till close goes towards these programs. We're working on a few other things at the same time, maybe a raffle or 50-50 or something, but we'll hammer those details out as we get closer to the date.
Definitely, and I'll have a little bit of Pacific Beer Chat swag to give away at that event.
Nice.
Super cool.
All right, well, let's get into the first beer, Steve. Can you tell us what we got here?
All right, so since Vancouver Island Brewing is sponsoring me, they donated 50 liters of beer to be sold at the actual fight night to proceeds for Eastside Boxing. We're doing a Vancouver Island episode. Vancouver Island Brewing Victoria Lager is our first one. Weighs in at, where is it on the can? I lost it here. 5.5% alcohol. They don't mention IBUs. And they say, brewed in the Dortmunder style, this golden export lager is a rich, full-bodied beer, celebration of the place our brewery calls home. Victoria Lagers are a way of sharing a little piece of the island with you, no matter where you go.
They have ingredients listed on there?
Water, good. Barley, hops, yeast. They don't have anything specific about the grain bill or hops.
Yeah. No, I got a bit of a... I thought there might be corn in it or something from the smell, but...
Yeah, it's definitely got a sweet aroma to it.
I think that's consistent with Dortmunder, though. They want a little bit... They don't want all the sugar gone.
Yeah, there's, it's kind of a lemony...
Yeah, there's for Dortmunder, you want a grainy character to be really sort of prominent there, grainy and a little bit of a cereal character. But I agree with Warren. I got corn right off the top. But it's, you know what? This is the kind of lager that just is for drinking. It really does it for me. Hot day, nice lager, crispness, a little bit of residual sweetness to keep you happy, some body.
It's almost balanced a little more towards the hops, finishes a little bitter.
Right. I appreciate it's not actually thin. It does have that body, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I was just listening back to the lager episode we did, and that was a thing I was remembering as I was listening back to it, is how often we were just sort of like, oh, there's just not much body to it. Not that it necessarily would have made all those beers better either, because there was some real stinkers. but it was just something we noticed. Whereas this one, by comparison, has a nice bit of body. And I agree entirely. It's nice for drinking. That bit of sweetness, I think, really sort of keeps you coming back for a little bit more.
But it has a little bit more... hops bitterness than all those other lagers we had, even the craft ones that were part of our tasting.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's got sweetness per se, it's that it's balanced that way. It's not a sugary beer.
No.
And I don't get under attenuation, which is...
No.
You can ask Warren, that is my bugaboo. Under attenuated beers drive me nuts.
And then you get that sweetness without the caramel or toffee
That's
thing.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice. It'd be nice if there's a little head on it, but...
Yeah.
you poured your own.
It's your own fault, man.
I tried.
Yeah, no, this is enjoyable. It's not my style, but it's got more flavor and body than the majority of the craft lagers I've been seeing these
days. For lager, that's not terrible.
Lager's a brute to, if you really want to be a brewer, brew a good lager.
Yeah.
I spent the last year brewing lagers just because I wanted to up my skill set. And oh my God, I dismally failed over and over.
It is a difficult style for
sure. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you can't take it for granted. And then when you start brewing the lighter styles, like this is, the Dortmund's actually sort of a medium style as lagers go, but when you start trying to brew the lighter styles, it gets even harder. One little thing off, and you know, then you got a bunch of guys with beards around a table criticizing you.
Hey, that's what it looks like what we got now.
More or less. We didn't line it up very well because we could have lined it up for beard length.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we should have done that.
I'm catching up. I'm getting there.
Yeah, you are. It's looking pretty good. A little more gray, though.
Yeah. That's probably because I'm older.
Yeah, it's true. All right, why don't we
And because I use beard dye.
That very just well could be. We can slide right into the next one here.
Yeah.
Next up is Vancouver Island Brewing's Dominion Dark Lager.
Ooh.
Ooh, we're a little lager heavy on the episode. That's not a little unusual, but
so is it a dark? Is it a Schwartz or is it Dunkel?
Schwarzbier.
Okay. Ooh, well, that's, you know what, that's bold because Schwarzbiers are thin on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see a lot of these right now. It comes in at 5.5% ABV, water, barley, hops, yeast, and they say this Schwarzbier is as dark as the night sky. It's been seen for. That's been seen from Sandwich's Dominion Astrophysical Observatory. An authentic Bavarian lager, has aromas of coffee and chocolate, smooth, clean finish.
So what is the difference between a Schwarzbier and, we were saying, dark lager? Is that the other style we were talking about?
Dunkel.
Dunkel, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Schwartz is Bavarian, so it's in the southern German style. And Munich Dunkel is, of course, from Munich.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, thank you very much. You know what? I really like this podcast. Anybody who hands me beer.
There'll be lots of beer in hand, yeah.
Okay, there's definitely head on this one.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, this one's looking a lot nicer.
But in terms of flavor and taste profile?
Good color.
The Dunkel's going to be heavier. Schwartz is going to be a lager that happens to be black with some roast, but Dunkel's got almost a little more caramelly color. And I'm shooting from the hip here because I don't have my BJCP guy in front of me.
This is very dark.
But honestly, if you're bold enough to make a Schwartz, you know, you can do your own thing as long as it identifies as a lager when you taste it.
Yeah, so this is super dark, bit of a ruby tone in there, really nice tan head, quite thick.
Yeah, and it's more. I get more coffee and roast than caramel in the nose, but it's not a burnt roast.
Get that lovely roast on the nose. Roast that is beautiful.
That is like just looking at super dark.
Oh. Yeah, I'd almost even say more root beery than ruby. That's super dark.
Oh, you know what? This is really good. I don't recall ever having this before.
Yeah, that's delicious.
I agree. Yeah. The roast and the finish.
It's actually got a little bit of smoke in there, too.
A little bit of smoke, a little coffee smoke. I wonder if they threw in a little bit of beechwood smoked malt in there.
It could be.
Just a little bit of that. But it's not a phenol. It's not a phenolic character. It's,
no, yeah.
That is delicious. That's quite clean. Not a lot of fruitiness or anything like that.
No.
I was just at Chuckanut last week, and they've got a Schwartz on tap, and of course their lagers, well, they need a ladder to climb down off the pile of gold medals.
Yeah.
And this stands right next door to that. That's really good.
That is good.
I kind of like that it's dark, it's roasty, it's got all that coffee to it, but it's not heavy.
Yeah. No.
I don't, I could drink two or three of these and be pretty happy. Nuts.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's one of those styles that was like a first wave craft beer, I find. Mm. And now it's also, I don't know, we would call this wave like third or fourth, but it's we're coming full circle again, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, son, I've been through the craft beer scare so many times.
Yeah.
I remember the first wave back in the early 90s.
But, you know, I mean, the first thing was to just move out a little. Let's change the color. I mean, that's not what they were just doing when they were putting out black lagers. And now we've done a bunch of crazy things, and we're starting to curl back again. And it's like, let's widen the pool.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and it's really nice that way that we're getting, you know, there's the Red Pilsner from Steel and Oak that I've enjoyed
quite a few times.
But yeah, these well-made lagers with a bit of different malt, that can keep you going for a long time.
When I always talk about hating lagers, it's not meaning these. It's just yellow fizzy I don't enjoy. This has got so much flavor to it.
Yeah.
Even though it's low alcohol, you know, it's not going to punch you in the face with flavor, but it's got lots to it.
Right.
You bet. Let's go nice with some cheese.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those beers that goes back to, you know, like...
It's a little salty.
Beer is a social drink rather than, like, you know, beer is a, you know... what is the beer called? Palate Destroyer or whatever?
Palate Wrecker.
Palate Wrecker. Or, like, you know, was it?
It's
Mega Destroyer.
I love Mega Destroyer.
No, not Mega Destroyer. What was the one in the States?
Tactical Nuclear Penguin.
Tactical Let's see how alcoholic we can make it. Let's see how hazy we can make it. Let's see how we, you know...
Let's
whatever
see how
we can make it.
We can make it.
Yeah. How extreme.
I think that's, what is that? That's Simple Things of Steel and Oak. That's
love it. I've been buying so much of that.
I heard it's amazing and I haven't gone to it yet. Oh. I haven't, but I mean, it's always on the shelf. So I'm like,
it's so
I'll just
good.
Get it next time. But yeah. I should probably not just get it next time. I should
don't
probably get
take it
now.
For granted, yeah. man. You will miss it.
Well, I've been buying a lot of that and I've been buying a lot of that other one from Twin Sails, Back to Basics.
Yeah, that's the other one I have had. I like it. Because, I mean, the hops they use, I think it's Mosaic.
I'm not sure, but it's just such a well-done, easy to drink,
and
lighter
it's,
style.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's cool to have those sitting on the shelf whenever you need them to be
there. Well, it's funny, because it's so easy to forget these kind of beers. That's why it's great here that we've got a mix pack from VIB. Just try some of their more core brands and, you know, try to remember that they make some really good beers that aren't one-offs all the time, right?
Yeah.
I do apologize we couldn't get the Nanaimo Bar Porter. It's not quite out in stores yet, but
sounded really good. It's an Imperial Porter.
But I do actually agree with you that it's nice to go back to a core lineup and some of the simpler beers. I mean,
that's kind of the buzz now, and I've been reading articles from I think it's the AHA and a couple other places saying that the search for novelty is hurting breweries.
Yeah.
That they don't have core brands anymore. Mm. They're just making all these damn hazies and weird sour beers. And
doesn't seem to be hurting Twin Sails too much.
But you notice that they're putting out a different brand new beer every month or two, and that's apparently the cycle.
Yeah.
Whereas they're saying that if you don't have a core brand to fall back on in a crowded market, that can leave you without an identifiable brand.
Sure.
Yeah, but I've read those articles too, and I think it's interesting because you look at a brand like Vancouver Island, who's putting out seasonals pretty quick too, but they also have their core brands. You look at Parallel 49, who bought a smaller brew house so they could put some stuff out, sort of hit both sides.
Yep.
And you look at Twin Sails. I was talking to a brewery owner actually this afternoon who's well known for making the weekly new beers or the bi-weekly new beers. And what we were talking about, the counterpoint is not that they don't have core beers, because let's be honest, the hazy beer is basically a single recipe that's tweaked each time.
Sure. Yeah.
And what the problem they're running into is they run into macros or even bigger craft brands like Parallel 49 or Russell, who have bigger marketing budgets. The way they compete with those big boys is on the shelves, right?
Yeah.
When they can put out something that appeals to the consumer walking in there. So, yeah, it's a new recipe, but what it really is a slight tweak on an existing recipe with new branding to appeal on the shelf.
Yeah.
And that's been going on since the beginning of time, like Sierra Nevada. They changed that torpedo recipe probably just as much as Twin Sails or whomever tweaks their hazy recipe. They just never told anyone.
Yeah.
I think it's... I don't know that we're not refining our recipes as much. I think we are. We're just... There's different things at play. It's a little bit of a different market. I think it's... I've heard those arguments. They're well-written arguments, but I think we're missing out on pieces as well.
Well, there's that also that small niche of customers who are looking for something new.
Yeah.
Right. So when a company like Twin Sails is putting out something new every 2 weeks, those guys are going to go there just for that.
Yep.
Those are the same guys that line up at Four Winds.
You know, right? I'm guilty of that. You know, I can complain that they don't have a core brand, but there I go into Twin Sails and I'm like, ooh, I have to try that.
Right.
And that. Yeah. And that.
Yeah. So. I mean, maybe to a certain extent, that is their core brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, you can't have too many of those in a given market. Otherwise, where do you go? But it works for a few people.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If beer, Boombox, Twin Sails, anybody who's got these hazy lines that keep changing, you know, most of the time they're harvesting the same yeast. They're probably using the same base malt. Yep. The variations in their recipes, and I'm not trying to put them down, but they're similar recipes with maybe a different hop.
The hop varieties and the hop schedule is what.
And yeah, these young breweries, they're probably buying off spot markets for hops. Mm-hmm. That is to say, you know, for listeners who may not know, you can't just go to the store and be assured that you're going to be able to get Vic's Secret month after month after month after your Victoria's Secret hop hazy IPA blows up and sells out. You got to spend a little bit more, see what's available, and hope for the best. So even if you, that's why Space Armadillo took a year to reappear.
Yeah.
couldn't get the Amarillo.
Amarillo Galaxy. Mosaic's another one that's tough to find.
Well, and then some hops, just the flavor will be way different every year.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely sympathize with those, you know, the heady days when you would have a favorite beer and you would make sure that your local had it. And but I think it's just a different world, and they're just old men shaking their fists at clouds.
You know what? as an old man with a fist and a view of the clouds.
Yeah.
I got to say the good old days are definitely, people who talk about them, it's a hagiography. The good old days were, we had maybe a dozen different craft beers we could choose from, and as long as you wanted Cascade, Centennial, or Chinook, you could have hop variety.
Yeah.
So they were rarely ran out of those more simplistic beers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you went crazy, you got a beer with East Kent Goldings in it. So nowadays, the plethora of exotic hops and new styles and strange yeasts and all this it's really darned exciting. I don't want to downgrade anybody for trying something new and cool, but I do like the fact that there are breweries out there that are making good core beers that just you can just drink.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's a little tiny bit left of that one.
I mean, I think
the other one's over here.
Okay.
We all love food too, but nobody. Well, I mean, some people obsess about it. I won't speak for anyone else. I love food. I'm not obsessed about food as I am about beer.
No.
And I think a lot of that has to do, I know a lot of that has to do with the social culture around beer, right? I mean, that's what we keep coming back to, I would say, most consumers, is because beer is providing a different experience than other foodstuffs.
Yeah.
Nobody hangs out at the produce aisle and talks about the craft kiwi producer, right?
Why not? Jeez.
That said, though, I seek out quality food. I'll go to my local producers and my local produce market, my local meat market and things to buy local products that I know are, you know, say, hormone-free meat and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Keys I'll Meats and Burnaby.
I go to that place out in Pitt Meadows, Hopcott. They're fantastic, too. But at the end of the day, it's about quality, and I look for the same thing in my beer that I look for in my food.
Absolutely.
It's the law of conservation of pleasure. You can only eat so much food before you get really fat. And you can only drink so much beer before you either break your liver or get a DUI or ruin your life.
True enough.
So don't drink shitty beer. Don't eat shitty food.
Life's too short.
Yeah. Yep. And I've had this argument with people too. I've heard people say I would never pour a beer down the drain. And I'm like, I often pour beers down. I can't drink every beer I want to drink and not die. Like, there's gotta be some cuts.
Right? Yeah.
So I mean, I think we're all saying the same thing more or less. But there's merits to where we are now, and there was merits to where we were 10, 20, 50, 30.
All right,
82. Anyways.
Okay, what do we got poured here?
Let's just talk about the next one here.
So after all that discussion about hazy IPAs and
there we go,
everything, Vancouver Island Brewing Broken Islands Hazy IPA clocks in at 6.0 ABV, has water, barley, oats, wheat, hops, and yeast.
Oats.
And this hazy IPA is anything but unexpected. Like the chain of islands that inspired it, there's something new to be discovered around every corner. Bold citrus aroma and flavor leads to a lingering, juicy finish.
I mean, it's definitely hazy. It's not as murky as what you usually see with the New England IPAs.
Yeah, I've seen hazier.
It's hazy.
Yeah, definitely hazy.
It probably just...
It's not a milkshake or anything, but...
Flocculated more than it could have or whatever.
It's what you often see when breweries tend to put out a shelf hazy beer or like in their standard, which is more of a hybrid between it and the West Coast, I find. This one's juicy, doesn't have a lot of bitterness to it, as far as I can tell.
Getting an awful lot of mango off the nose there.
It's very fruity.
I'm getting some apricot.
Yeah.
Nice. The nose.
Well, I'm getting that fruity thing. I think I'm picking up a little bit of mosaic, maybe.
Yeah, there's definitely mosaic, because I get a hint of onion in the background. That's just me, all mosaic.
For me, it was just a little catty.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
I'd just throw a cocktail in and onion got good in your flavor. Beer.
Yeah.
It's nicely balanced. A lot of the hazies... You know, that with the explosion of late hop, they don't have enough balance for the sweetness and the fullness in the body. I like the fact that this has got a good backbone to it. This is one I could drink more than one of.
Yeah, this doesn't taste like a ton of cryo hops. Reported,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, there's a nice hop like through the whole thing. I get it at the start. I get
it's
the
there.
Middle, get it the
it's
finish.
There at the finish, but it's not punching you in the face.
Right? Yeah.
Not throughout the whole thing. It's just it's there. It's letting you know, but it doesn't just go wham.
Yeah. It's harmonious.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's got a nice blend between the two styles, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad.
It's got like the kind of the herbal kick from the hops, and
I don't think it's going to win any awards for an IPA or a hazy IPA, but as a hybrid between the two, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
A hazy beer you're going to get in a mixed, is it a 12-pack? Mm-hmm. This is probably going to stay stable in there and probably taste good for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which you would not want to have one of those murky New England IPAs in a mixed 12 case.
No.
It would be awful. Well,
and also, this has got great drinkability, that wholeness, that sort of harmony to it.
It's got a nice citrus in the finish that's quite nice. Like
a grapefruit.
The big, thick, grapefruit. Super fruit IPAs.
Just on IPAs. How many Mike's note there. Ones?
A lot.
This was packed in October.
Okay. Wow.
Not too bad.
Last October?
Survived. Last October.
Well, you know what? That's a testament to it being really well made and very low levels of dissolved oxygen. So, kudos.
So when it's a bit fresher, I guess the hops would be a little more pronounced too.
Yeah,
could be. Yeah,
sounds like they run a tight ship over on the island.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they have done it for a while.
Yeah,
they got some experience.
Yeah,
I mean they've had a couple rebrands now, and they new brewers and everything. And I think the new brewers have really kind of revitalized the brand too.
Well, Danny Seaton's one of the brewers over there now. I think he changed a couple of the recipes a little bit, did some tweaks. I know that new branding didn't go as well as they'd hoped, and they sort of reverted back to something a little more traditional, what fit the company better. But yeah, I think they're doing good things over there.
Well, I got to admit, Vancouver Island had kind of fallen off my radar for quite a while. Mm. This is sitting down and actually sitting with their core taster pack, I'm pretty impressed. I would come back to Vancouver Island Brewing and probably keep them a little more on my shelf.
20 years ago, 15 years ago, Victoria was important. You'd be looking for Spinnaker's beers or whatever. But
Driftwood and
But now we got so many breweries over here on the mainland. It's like you don't need to get the beer from the island.
Yeah, I guess, 20 years ago, VIB had much more market significance.
Oh, yeah.
Given the dearth of
their big competition was Okanagan Springs.
That was more or less it, unless you were going into a brew pub like Spinnaker's. So
I always remember
Granville Island back when it was still independent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back before a winery company bought them.
I mean, damn wineries,
those damn wineries.
Wine and spirits.
But I distinctly think back to it was about 11 years ago when I became legal drinking age, and I could go into the liquor store, and I was. From the moment I was legal, I was interested in different beers for no reason at all. But anyways, I always remember holding, the big three for me at the time when I was going there was Okanagan Springs,
mm-hmm.
Granville Island Brewing, and VIB. And those were those are the ones I know that are craft. And you could get a couple other craft offerings. You get some European imports too, which I held in the same regard at that point for some reason. And but I was thinking I got to get through their portfolios, those three breweries' portfolios. They all went and did sort of different things. Actually, I think Okanagan might have been owned by, was it Sapporo even back then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't aware at the time, but I remember liking their pale ale a whole bunch. Anyways, it just, they've lost some market share, but they're really, these new recipes, I think, are bringing them back into the fold quite a bit, and it's really quite impressive to have them now.
Well, that brings up a funny idea, because most of the growth in craft these days is coming at the expense of macros.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the growth that those older traditional brands are experiencing is the result of awareness from new craft coming up and people looking, at the shelf and, Vancouver Island Brewing, Nelson. Let's try these beers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have to bring something up that you said about being of drinking age 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been of drinking age longer than you've been alive. Somebody get me a beer.
I just realized how fucking young Carnell is.
I turned 30 in a couple months.
If only I knew then what I know now.
Oh my God, I wore shoes older than you.
You're so old. Well, I like beer, though. I mean, come on.
It's all good, man. That's the great thing about beer. It brings people of diverse backgrounds together, different ages.
Yeah, different generations.
Different generations.
Hey, what was that? I didn't hear you speak.
Oh, man.
All right. Faller Northwest Pale Ale.
So this is the beer that's
brewing.
Yes, remember, a dollar for every of these sold February 17th, 5 p.m. till close at Dublin Gate in Main Street.
We'll go towards Steve's fundraiser for Eastside Boxing.
It's going to a good cause. So,
So
now
this
what
is
what more excuse do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the last of the taster pack. We're also I also grabbed us the Herminator Ice Bock to finish off.
That's a good one.
So
that was that one.
I love that,
that won
beer.
The BC Beer Awards a couple of years ago.
Yes, it did.
I think more than once.
It's
probably that's pretty solid.
That so, is the beer that changed the world for me.
This pale ale smells great.
So yeah, this is the Vancouver Island Brewing Faller Northwest Pale Ale.
Interesting.
And this one clocks in at 5.4%. It's actually pretty low.
Well, it's a pale ale's territory.
Water, barley, hops, yeast, and this beer celebrates all those who have worked hard to make the island what it is today. Inspired by classic Northwest pale ales, builds a history of its own with aromas of fresh pine, grapefruit, and a healthy malt finish.
So if they make a faller pale ale, do they make a Bucker IPA?
Who knows?
That's really good. It's got like a floral hop character to it. Almost sort of a...
I'm really enjoying the aroma. It's just
that's lovely.
It's inviting, spicy. There's a clean graininess.
Yeah,
there's still some kind of fruitiness in there.
Right, it almost reminds me like of heather flowers.
Oh, it's very floral. Yeah,
yeah. It's funny, we were talking about beer 10 years ago and what it was, and I was thinking, oh great, Northwest Pale Ale. This will be exactly like beer 10 years ago. You know, with the big sea hops. Yeah. You know, Chinook, Cascade, and whatever the other one was.
They've taken this in a slightly different direction, and I think it's working.
Yeah, and it's
and it's different. It's
for right now, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
for sure,
floral. You know, those hoppy flavors are very different than what I think.
Yeah,
Northwest Ale, but I don't know. I almost like it more than you know.
It's
the Northwest
different
Ales
and interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
It's funny. It almost tastes like there's rye in it or something to get that spiciness.
Yeah.
There isn't. It sounds like, but
no. This actually that makes me
There might could be a noble hop in there for the spicy.
Could be, yeah.
Makes me obviously think of like what a pale, what my conception of a pale ale is that it's not just a slightly less hoppy IPA.
Right.
It's got some different characteristics, a little bit of floral or a little bit of fruit, something different. And I could drink a few of these.
This is awesome. I like this.
Yeah, me too.
So Steve, I got to ask, you're doing the boxing thing.
Yep.
For East Side Boxing. Have you ever been in a fight before?
grades 10?
Did you mess that guy up or what? Or girl, I don't know. I'm not.
No. I think a grand total of 2 punches were thrown.
Well, remember what Mike Tyson said. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right.
And then you get hungry. But
so is there any kind of bragging rights or anything for the winners? Or
You do get an official win-loss record with BC Boxing and amateur International Boxing Association.
Oh, so this is sanctioned.
This is sanctioned, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
That's the one shitty part for guys with bigger beards is that BC Boxing does not allow facial hair.
Really?
Right.
So a couple of the guys last year that had these big, glorious beards were not sanctioned for those fights.
Right. Those are exhibition fights.
Okay, so they
fights,
fought
so.
With their beards, but they didn't get points.
But they didn't get any. It was just an exhibition.
Smack
they didn't even
each
have
other
a
with beards.
They weren't even. It wasn't even like who wins, who loses. So, it was everyone cheer for your favorite ones.
So that would have been
so
like
is,
Nigel.
Is there like a beard cutoff, or do you have to be clean shaven? Is there like,
they haven't really spoken
remember.
To that yet. I think yeah. you can get away with like a short beard.
So it's a weigh in and a measure.
Yeah, they'll bring out the ruler, hold it against your cheek.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but yeah, no, it definitely is a rule that big beards are not allowed. Which
that's
the only hard part for a beer.
That's very
boxing
bizarre.
I'm assuming that's a rule from way back when it just never changed.
Because I think there's MMA guys with beards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there are.
Well, this is just Boxing BC or whatever. Yeah. It's our
probably,
local boxing authority.
It's probably a hygiene issue to do with cuts and
blood and everything. Something.
Or maybe your beard's too much of a cushion.
Well, you have to wear the full
headgear
anyway.
There's one
it's
dude
amateur
who's
boxing.
Got a beard literally down to his belly button there, so that might actually cushion you.
Do you know which brewery he works for?
He told me. I totally forgot.
Okay, because I remember one of the guys last year with the really big beard worked for Granville Island.
Same guy.
Okay.
So he was not cutting his beard off.
Damn. So you're fighting under the banner of Vancouver Island Brewing.
That I am.
They're your sponsor. Do you know when your first scheduled matches?
So we're going to start sparring, I think, in the next 2 weeks because we're assuming everybody's starting from scratch.
Right.
Like never thrown a punch before in their life. There is a qualifier or a match called The Purge on March 9th. Details are forthcoming about that. Last year it was $5 admission, and you can come drink beer, watch everybody spar.
Nice.
And If you do well enough there, you get in onto the card for the big fight on April 13th.
Okay.
Again, details forthcoming.
Yep. I went last year to that, though, and it was so much fun.
I can imagine.
Watching people that you either know well or, you know, peripherally know beating the shit out of each other is kind of fun, actually. As soon as you get a bit of alcohol in you and you get that, you know, adrenaline.
Yeah, it's just, you're like, this.
It's just fun getting together with people, those spectacle, people anyways.
But after, it's fun.
I'm not even a boxing fan, but you go there because you know the boxers and everything, and you know the whole industry.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, my friend Robin Lundstrom, he's in Van Brewers. He went last year, I think, and I asked him how he enjoyed it. He said it was kind of a blur. He had a really good time. The training was fun, but then he took a couple shots to the head and he doesn't remember.
That seems to be a common story.
Sorry if you're listening to this podcast, Robin.
Well, I know multiple people that have tried for multiple years and have never made it past the purge because of broken ribs.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Steve, have you taken a punch to the face yet?
I have taken a punch to the face.
How'd you fare?
First time, that was quite the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
It's coming down now.
See, I've taken swords to the head. And
to be fair, I do historical fencing, so I get... Oh, nice. Yeah, I get popped in the face with a heavy piece of steel pretty frequently. Yep.
See, because I thought about doing the boxing thing, but I obviously did not at all. And it's always because I read this somewhere. I don't remember where, but it was probably middle school, but it's been ingrained in my mind always. You don't truly know yourself till you've been in a fight or like been punched in the face.
That first pop to the face, it really started... It lets something out in you, and it's mostly adrenaline. And then you find out how you react to unexpected adrenaline. Right.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
Yeah. Right. See, I envy that because the closest I've ever come is we have this, we keep a corn snake at the school I work at, and I'm afraid of snakes. Like death. And I was walking past the thing they keep it in, and all of a sudden the thing pops out. And, like, next thing I know, I, like, jump back and I hit my fist in the air. And
I'm a punch you, snake.
Yeah. That's the closest I've got to a fight in my life. And now at least I know, like, I wouldn't run. It's good to know about myself.
I'm voting for Carnell for Beer Wars next year.
Yeah. Do it.
Under the name Snake Puncher.
Yeah. I want to be Carnell the Python Turton.
No.
So
Carnell the Corn Snake.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, side shout out. I do my historical fencing at Valkyrie Western Martial Arts Assembly, and a few months ago, or a little while ago, I started doing just a little bit of light boxing with them, just striking work, just to get some different movements, a little bit of different training, and it turns out I like it. That's why I chose to join up for Beer Wars, but I wanted to just shout out to them as well. They've been super supportive, and thanks, guys.
Cool.
All right. Well,
let's get into that Herman Ale.
Want to move into the last beer of the this episode?
You know, I got to say, I'm surprised. I don't buy Vancouver Island beer all that often, and these all have been fairly solid and decent. I wouldn't turn any of these down.
You know what? I would go beyond saying they're fairly solid and decent.
These are pretty good.
Good. Yeah.
To say that they're good beers. They're a good choice. Value for dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Herminator. That's a great
It's value an amazing beer. It's always won awards. It's
how many other ice boxes have you ever had?
There's not a lot of them around.
No. Two.
I've had a couple, three, for sure.
You know, and it's an unusual style. And it's a bold one because you gotta explain. It's a hand sell to everyone who tries it for the first time.
I don't remember when the episode aired, but I exhorted everybody listening to make more Box. I missed them. They were huge when I started drinking, and
now they've really fallen by the wayside.
They're missing.
You don't see a lot of even Belgian triples and things like that anymore at craft breweries.
No, not at all.
No, they're yeah.
Well, we looked to Europe for expensive. So long, and I think it's the opposite's happening now. Everyone's sort of looking to North America at the moment. Actually, not even North America. So everyone's looking, some people hate me saying this, looking to the States right now.
Yeah, well, San Diego and New England.
They're the trendsetters.
Yeah.
But there was a good long, long while where everybody was seeing what's going on in Europe and those old traditional styles and trying to do that. But this beer is maybe an example of that, but it's one that's just been amazing for as long as I can remember. It's the one beer I buy every freaking year.
Yeah.
When I was buying this, the guy at the tills just said, I have literally been drinking this every year it's come out for the last 30 years. Yep. And like, it's a classic. It just is.
And it's so cool. It comes, I mean, most things come in bombers, these big style beers. I mean, I think it always surprised me. Is it
9.5 or 8.5?
See, because every time, like, bam, like, it's a smooth beer. It's delicious.
There's no warmth to it at all.
No, you let it warm up a little. You get a little bit more out of it. But, like, I've been trying to build a cellar for a couple of years now, and I'm really happy with where it's at. It's basically where I want to be, just over 100 bottles.
I used to be there.
But if you ever want to start cellaring things or just see the effect, the cheapest and arguably the highest quality way to do it is buy a six-pack of Herminator and just stick it in a closet and drink one every 2 months.
I always buy lots of those ones from the Thor's Hammer from Red Racer.
That's another great one.
I always buy several of those. I drink one. I put the rest in the closet.
Yeah.
I got a couple of Thor's Hammers in there. But yeah, I've got four of these because I had to drink two during the winter time.
These are delicious.
And it's, I promote the crap out of this beer because I just think it's awesome.
You get that nice roasty up front in the aroma and the flavor. It's got a nice sweet malty backbone without being like overly sweet or cloying.
Yeah.
The brilliance is that it's a malty lager with balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's in that richness. It's not even a sweetness because it's so nicely balanced.
Yeah.
It's got a richness that warms you up from the inside.
And you get that earthy, yeasty flavor in there too. It's very complex, super rounded, very balanced.
But clean, clean, clean.
Oh yeah.
Love the lager. Yeah.
Question: is anybody else getting sort of a spicy cedar to this, or is that just me?
I never taste anything but beer. This beer is good.
Yeah, I think some of that, the combination of the roast, the alcohol, and the hops might be giving you that woody indication.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
You know what? I bet the cedar is like a lactone coming from some of the dark roasted grains, because the woody notes are a long sugar type thingy. If I hadn't been drinking beer, I'd have the actual.
Is this like a biology molecule thing?
Long chain.
Yeah. So it's probably one of the roasted grains that you're much more sensitive to. I don't actually get the cedar thing, but I get the woody character from the richness of those grains.
Yep.
And it's like a polylactone or something like that.
There you go. It's barrel aged without being barrel aged.
Hey, there we go.
They do a barrel aged version as well, which is also sitting in my cellar.
Same with Thor's.
Barrel aged is fantastic.
The two pack. Oh yeah, yeah. And also what they did at one point was they put it in 350ml bottles and I stuck it in their winter packs.
Yeah.
And then I think they did too much and it was just sitting out for like $3 a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a total aside. But if you ever go to a liquor store, see Thor's Hammer in a 350ml bottle for $3, buy it all.
Yeah.
Buy it all.
This one, it's funny. It almost reminds me a little bit of some of the characters of a quad too.
Hmm.
Some of the fruity notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet in a year or so it would show more of those. It would get that sort of developed cooked fruit, plum pudding.
Well, anything big and alcoholic, this would age nicely.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Aging a few really big beers, it's an education of itself.
Oh heck yeah!
I sit down and do a vertical flight. It opens your eyes.
Oh my gosh! I do it with Singularity every year.
Mm.
So I'm that jerk who runs around and buys at least a dozen bottles. You're buying a
dozen. Yeah. Nice.
And I put them away, and every once in a while, and what I love to do with Singularity is take a 4 or 5 year old bottle down to the States. With people who are like, ooh, Hanuapu Stout from Cigar City is the best beer in the entire world.
Right.
Well, let's try it, shall we? And then their eyes bug out. Where can I buy this?
You can't.
Yep. Gotta love when that happens.
Got a smug moment. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That the whole thing about aging some beer and tasting it as it progresses in age, what an education that is.
I did a vertical with a bunch of guys from
the place.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
From the thing in the place with the guy.
They live in a town.
They're members of the camera, the campaign for real ale. And we sat down and we did a vertical. I think it was a 10-year vertical of Fuller's.
Oh my
gosh.
That was pretty interesting.
That would be. Years,
we also had duplicates of some of them that came from two different people, so we were able to compare the same year and how they were aged.
Provenance.
So one was aged at room temperature, one was in a proper cellar, and you could tell the difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fascinating.
Absolutely.
That was really interesting.
That would be really cool to be in on. So I'm just going to put in my final plug. You can donate directly. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's also on pacificbeerchat.com, mikescraftbeer.com. Come on down to Dublin Gate Main Street in Vancouver, February 17th, 5 p.m. to close. $1 from every fall or pale ale goes towards Eastside Boxing Club's charitable programs.
Let's do our best to tap out those kegs.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's an easy beer to drink and buy.
Knock out those kegs.
Yeah, knock out those kegs. Yeah.
We just...
I just came to me. I had to yell.
TKO. Yeah.
We just tried the Faller. We liked it. Slush. Come on down.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great beer.
I could drink a lot of dollars worth of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Part of the Hopped Up Network. Here is a sample of one of the podcasts you can check out by going to hoppedupnetwork.com.
On the Pints and Provisions podcast, we discuss the ins and outs of beer, brewing, and breweries, in addition to all those crafts that pair well with beer, such as bourbon, coffee, food, and cooking. Join Evan, Ryan, Mark, and Dan on each episode where we discuss those crafts we love to imbibe. Here's a clip.
I've got four full glasses over here. I need to figure out my glass situation before I pour this.
You're the one asking for more
glasses. Yeah, he was the one next? That said, "What's next?"
Well, there's a bunch sitting out. I thought maybe I thought we were going to get those going, but
we are proud members of the Hopped Up Network, where you can find all our episodes and also look for us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean.com, as well as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com and to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
All of my marches through the
I found out so much then. So much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side. I cursed our time apart. The beginning of the end for you and me.